Hey, everybody, it's me, Dee Snider. Yeah, you know me from Twisted Sister. And you're watching Metal from the Inside with Sydney Taylor. Yeah.
You've tuned in to the most crazy rocking metal podcast on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Metal from the Inside.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Metal from the Inside podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Taylor, and you are listening to episode 42 of the podcast. I just wanted to apologize for my absence last week. If you are a loyal listener, I did not post a new episode last week because I was, in fact, on vacation in North Carolina, and it was wonderful. But the episode previously was my conversation with Jack Frost and Rich Catino, and we did a deep dive into glam metal. And the episode got such a great reception. I got a lot of positive feedback, and Rich and I are actually talking about doing a part two to that episode, of course, with Jack as well. We're still toying around with exactly what we want to cover, since we did cover a lot in that first episode. You know, we talked about pretty much every band from Whitesnake to Motley Crue to Def Leppard, Bon Jovi, even some more kind of obscure bands like Vane and Y&T and all that fun stuff. So we're still thinking about it, but there's definitely going to be a part two to that deep dive into 80s metal. And speaking of episodes like that, be sure to let me know what you would like to see on the podcast. You know, I primarily do interviews here, which is the kind of episode that I'm bringing to you guys today. I have an interview with a hard rock legend that we're going to get into in just a little bit. But, you know, I primarily do interviews, and I am starting to branch out into doing some other kinds of episodes, as we've seen. You know, I did my top 10 Whitesnake tracks with Pete Pardo. We did the glam episode. I have a great episode coming up with Don Jameson, which, funny enough, the last episode I posted, that was the episode that I was supposed to have for you guys today, but I had an impromptu interview pop up with today's guest, and with the release of his album, I wanted to make sure that this episode got out, so the conversation with Don is coming, I promise. But yeah, we're kind of just branching out into some different topics and talking about some cool stuff here on the podcast, so if there is anything specifically that you would like to hear here on the Metal from the Inside podcast, be sure to go ahead and let me know. Nothing is off limits, and I always want to make sure that I'm putting out content that you guys want to listen to. Your opinion matters, so be sure to tweet me, message me on Instagram, on Facebook, shoot over an email, whatever you'd like, and I'll get back to you guys as soon as possible. But before we get into today's interview, I want to go over some rock news that has been happening this past week. Def Leppard's sophomore release, High and Dry, just celebrated its 40th anniversary, which is insane. It was released on July 11th, 1981 in the US. It was released a couple of days earlier in the UK, but this was the band's first record working with producer Mutt Lange, who was already a legendary producer. He had produced Back in Black, Highway to Hell, a lot of those AC/DC records in the late 70s and early 80s, and he also went on to record two of Def Leppard's biggest records later on, Pyromania and His. So it's really fun. I actually got to write a 40th anniversary retrospective on High and Dry for Brave Words, and it was a blast to write. I got to go back and revisit the record and do a little bit of an in-depth review on the record and the process for Brave Words. So if you'd like to check that out, be sure to go ahead and go to Brave Words' website. I also posted the link on all of my social media as well, so you can go ahead and check it out there. But yeah, 40 years since High and Dry. And my favorite Def Leppard song is Another Hit and Run, which I talk about in the article as well. And that is the second song on High and Dry. So it's been 40 years since my favorite Def Leppard song was released. And, you know, as many of you know, High and Dry is the kind of quintessential Def Leppard record. You know, a lot of diehard fans, and I'm sure a lot of you listening, weren't too thrilled with the band as the years went on and they got a little bit more commercial and things got extraordinarily fine-tuned. You know, know, we look on to Hysteria. That's a very controversial record for them. You know, it gets a lot of flack. And I mean, I personally love Hysteria, but I also know that it's a bit of an acquired taste. And I know why some people don't absolutely love it. You know, they loved a lot of the raw energy that we saw on High and Dry. And High and Dry is definitely the crowd favorite of Def Leppard fans. So it's been 40 years. Go ahead and crank it up if you didn't on its release. It's 40 years the whole year, so you still have time. Be sure to go ahead and check out my 40th anniversary retrospective of High and Dry on Brave Words. Let me know what your favorite track on High and Dry is and where the album ranks in your favorite Def Leppard records. Unfortunately, we are moving on to some sadder news, and it is with a heavy heart that today I tell you guys that we unfortunately lost Mr. Jeff LaBar, original guitarist for the band Cinderella. And like so many, I was so unbelievably shocked at this news. I was actually at work and I got a text from a friend that he had passed away, and I was just completely shocked. He was only 58, which is so young. There is no details yet as to, you know, the cause of his passing, but his son Sebastian LaBar, who is a guitarist himself in the band Mach 22 in Tantric, he confirmed the news, and my heart really goes out to Sebastian, Jeff's wife, his friends, and of course the guys in Cinderella who spent so much time with Jeff in that band, you know, recording all of that music together, touring together all of those years. Up until just a couple of years ago, Cinderella was together, so it's been a wild ride for them, and I'm sure that they're going through a very difficult time right now. You know, hearing of this news, it's interesting because I was, of course, a Cinderella fan before I moved to Philadelphia, but once I moved here and I started to really get immersed in the music scene here and meeting a lot of people, and then, you know, hearing this news yesterday, you know, a lot of people here knew Jeff really well. You know, this was a community that these guys, you know, Cinderella made it in, you know, decades ago, you know, upon the release of Night Songs and where they got signed, and, you know, the album cover for that record was shot here by Mark Weiss, which we actually talked about that and his experience with the band when he was on the podcast. But, you know, that band and especially Jeff was tied and is still tied so closely to this area. So when that news broke yesterday, a lot of my colleagues and a lot of people I know who live in the same area as me, of course, you know, I just felt like it hit really, really close to home. So I'm thinking of everybody who was friends with Jeff and collaborated with Jeff and just was touched by Jeff's music and everything that he brought to our scene and to our community. It is really, really devastating, and I don't think that any of us expected this loss. So we are thinking of you, Jeff. We miss you so much already, and we thank you so much for everything that you brought to this scene, to our music, and to our community. Be sure to go ahead and blast some Cinderella whenever you are listening to this episode. And if you had any personal interactions with Jeff, if you had a fun story meeting him, if you have a photo with him, be sure to go to Sebastian LaBar's Facebook page or Instagram page. He has kind of put a call out there for those of us to share our videos, our pictures, and just our memories with Jeff. So if you have any, be sure to go ahead and share that with Sebastian and the rest of those who loved Jeff. I know that Sebastian would absolutely love to see those. And so be sure to go ahead and do that. But yeah, it's just incredibly tragic news. And, you know, just aside from Jeff's passing, it's been a really heavy couple of days on my social media. There's been a lot of loss that I've seen, you know, not only in the music world, but, you know, people that I know personally that are going through a lot of loss. And I'm gonna get a little bit sentimental here, but here's your reminder that life is very, very, very short, and be sure to spend the time that you have with the people you love doing what you love. Life is too short not to, and I think that we're seeing that every day. You know, we're losing a lot of people very young, and that's a lesson that I've learned, especially over the course of the pandemic and all of the loss that we had on that front. So, like I said, spend your time with the people you love, doing what you love, and that's why I do this podcast, because I absolutely love it. And today's guest that I have is one of those moments where I had to completely just pinch myself. I know I say this every episode, that I'm pinching myself when I talk to these people, but on this week's episode, episode 42 of the Metal from the Inside podcast, I am talking to the one, the only, SMF himself, Mr. D. Snider, frontman for the band Twisted Sister. He is now working extra hard on his solo career that he's working on with producer Jamie Josta of Hatebreed, and it was an absolute honor to have Dee on the podcast. As many of you guys know, Dee is releasing his next solo record entitled Leave a Scar on Napalm Records July 30th, so in about 2 weeks, we're going to hear the brand new record, and I've heard the record. It is fantastic. We talk about it in the interview, of course, but it's definitely heavier, in my opinion, than anything that Dee did with Twisted Sister. We saw with the last record that Dee did with Jamie that it's definitely a heavier vibe. You know, it's more metal than I think that we usually associate Dee Snider with. So it's a really, really great record. The first single, I Gotta Rock Again, has been out for a little bit now. So let me know your thoughts on the first single and, of course, the record when it is released. But we get into the reasons why Dee decided to record another solo record, how he got into, you know, working with Jamie Josta, how that whole relationship started. You know, I've been hearing about their kind of musical relationship over the last couple of years. You know, like I said, Jamie had produced For the Love of Metal, but I wasn't really 100% sure on how they ended up linking up and getting together to collaborate. So we get into that story. We also talk about Dee and I's mutual hero, which I'm sure that many of you know where I'm going with this. We talk about Alice Cooper, the one, the only shock rock innovator, which Dee and I share. You know, Alice is both of our heroes. And so we get into, you know, what it's like for Dee to not only work with Alice and, you know, been able to interview him and be a part of his, you know, encapsulating documentary, Super Duper Alice Cooper, but also be friends with the legend himself. And, you know, we had Alice on the podcast a little bit ago, so it was really cool to have Dee come on and talk about Alice and share, you know, what it's like for, you know, him to be friends with his hero. It's really, really cool. So we talk about that and a myriad of other topics, of other really, really fun topics, even a little bit about A Twisted Christmas, which is my personal favorite Christmas record. This interview goes a lot of places, so I really, really hope that you guys enjoy it. And like I said, I absolutely loved recording this episode, and I was totally pinching myself the whole time. You know, I've grown up listening to Twisted Sister and hearing all of the records and just loving the music. You know, I remember listening to Dee himself on his House of Hair radio show, being in the car and listening to him host that show. I've seen Dee on everything. And so it was so cool to have him on the podcast and to sit down and talk about this brand new record, Leave a Scar, again out on July 30th via Napalm Records. Be sure to go ahead and pre-order your copy. I think Dee might even have signed copies that are available. I know everything is linked in his social media, you know, bios and everything like that. He also makes a lot of posts about it, so be sure to go ahead and check it out, and you can find out where you can purchase a signed copy of the record if you so choose. Before we get into my conversation with Dee Snider, I want to remind you guys that Metal from the Inside merchandise is available now for you to purchase via the renowned heavy metal label Season of Mist. You can go to www.season-of-mist.com. Go ahead and type Metal from the Inside into the search bar, and our flame logo tee will pop right up. You can get this design on a myriad of different styles, including long sleeves, hoodies, tank tops, t-shirts, whatever your heart desires. It is a great way to support the podcast, as every single dollar I receive goes directly back into creating even better content for you guys. But if you do not have any money to spend, no worries at all. Another great way for you guys to support the podcast is to leave a review on our Apple Podcast page, a 5-star review. You can also leave a review on our Facebook page as well as our Podchaser page. And here is a review that the podcast got on our Apple Podcasts page, a 5-star review from Steve, who is a new listener. He says, absolutely my new favorite podcast. I'm looking forward to more episodes. Oh, and Shot in the Dark is my favorite Aussie song too. You have very good taste, Steve. Shot in the Dark is one of the best Aussie songs in my opinion, and I'm glad that you agree. We talk a little bit about that song in my interview with Phil Suzanne, who actually co-wrote Shot in the Dark. So if you're interested, you can go back and listen to that episode. But thank you so much for the 5-star review, Steve. It is extremely appreciated, and I am so thankful to have you as a listener. You can be just like Steve and have your review read here on the Metal from the Inside podcast. Once again, if you leave a review on our Apple Podcasts page, Facebook, or Podchaser page. Thank you guys so much for your support. We're going to get right into my my interview with the original SMF himself, Mr. D. Snyder, when we get back from this very short break.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Metal from the Inside podcast. I am joined by a hard rock and heavy metal legend, Mr. D. Snyder. Thank you so much for coming on, D. It's an honor to have you.
It's great to be here, actually. Really great.
Yeah. So I know you have your new album, Leave a Scar, coming out on July 30th, via Napalm and everything. And before we kind of get into the details of the record, I kind of wanted to get into just the background of what made you put this one together. Because, you know, in your kind of promotion for this, you know, we heard that back in 2019, you kind of had decided that this was going to be, that was the end. You're going to kind of retire, for lack of a better word, from touring and live shows and all that stuff. So first, what was a catalyst for that decision back then? And secondly, what kind of, you know, prompted you to want to hop back into it after COVID and kind of record this new record?
Well, in 2019, I really enjoyed the reap the rewards of the success of For the Love of Metal. Thanks to Jamie Josta and company and his production team, I found my place. I found my voice. I found success in my return to true metal, which is a passion of mine. And I just got there at the end of 2018, a couple of years touring on For the Love of Metal. And I got to be honest, part of me felt like, I said, you know what? This is a high note. Maybe I should just drop the mic and walk away. You know, it's like, why take a chance of screwing that up? Like, you know, the album went top 20 on the Billboard charts. I mean, I hadn't been there in decades. So it was one of the number one metal albums of the year all around the world. So I said, now's a good time to leave. But cut to 2020, COVID, the state of the world, and I found myself just saying I gotta rock again. And it's kind of a stupid, silly statement to make. I'm sure one that many, many people have said sitting there binge watching TV. But I also, it was just a matter of realizing that I needed to say something. What's going on in the world, someone needs to say something. And I've been given that voice. I've been given that position where people pay attention when I scream, we're not going to take it, in their faces. So I had to scream.
Yeah. And I mean, I've loved it because too, you know, I've been following you on social media and everything throughout, you know, throughout COVID and everything, but I love you and your posts, because you're always just so honest in like the best way, you know, and I feel like we need that so much. You've always been that way though. So it hasn't been a shock that you were that way during all of this stuff, you know?
Well, thank you for saying that and for supporting and following me that way. But that was it was, you know, people think the tweets don't matter, posts don't matter. It was a single tweet that sort of pushed me over the edge with recording. And I was, as you know, I was ranting and raving out there saying, people, stand up, say something, push back, don't take this lying down. You know, the extreme left, extreme right are making decisions for us. They are minority, a bullying minority. They're not the majority. And the time for sitting back and hoping things will work out, you know, that's over. And someone wrote to me and said, but D, not all of us have a platform or the voice to do that. What should we do? I said, well, get behind someone who's speaking out for you. And then I realized that was me. I said, I'm that guy. And I, you know, and that was a big realization. Like, yeah, I've got a great life, and yeah, I'm successful, and yeah, I'm living happily ever after. I truly am. I don't feel all that angst and frustration that so many people feel, but it doesn't mean others aren't feeling it. And I have been given that position to speak out on their behalf. So here I am doing it. I called up Jamie Josta, said, I felt like Ice Cube, you know, hey, Dre, I got something to say, you know, hey, Jamie, I got something to say. We got to do another record.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know that you worked with Jamie, of course, on For the Love of Metal, and then, you know, now again on this record, but I never really was sure kind of how you guys got connected, because, I mean, I know you were talking a little bit about how you got back into, you know, kind of a heavier sound, which definitely the last two records have had, in my opinion, you know, kind of heavier than what you did with Twisted Sister. So, what was the process of working with Jamie and then kind of finding that sound for your own, you know, solo music?
Well, we got to start with, you know, my background historically is for musically, I should say. I am a day one metal fan on that age that was there when Black Sabbath first record came out, Zeppelin's first record, Grand Funk's first record, Blue Cheer's first record, Mountain, Deep Purple. I was there. It was called Hard Rock. And I was a hard rocker. But then that started to change. Eventually it was branded heavy metal, which, by the way, was a derogatory title given by media. That's why a lot of bands like Zeppelin, AC/DC, Sabbath, they never liked the words heavy metal because it was a put down. It was a dismissive term that the press gave it. But anyway, so I was a part of one of the guys swinging the axe, breaking up the Woodstock Nation, saying, you know, fuck Country Joe and the Fish. Give me freaking, you know, Black Sabbath, you know. So I am a metalhead. In all its forms. And I really liked glitter rock of the early 70s, Alice Cooper, David Bowie, T-Rex, bands like that. When Twisted Sister opportunity came, and here I was joining a band that was built on the New York Dolls, I loved it, and I joined gladly because I love that stuff. As I started taking over the writing process, I mixed my love for the glitter rock with my love for heavy metal and created the Twisted Sister sound, whatever they call it, hair metal now, whatever you want to call it, that more anthemic thing. But I'm a metalhead. And post-Twisted, I've continued to stay connected to the community. Thankfully, my four kids grown are all metalheads. And through it all, they have kept me in touch, bringing me to shows, listening to stuff they're listening to. So I've been exposed to all metal, and I'm a supporter of metal in all its forms. So I love heavy music. Jamie Josta, I'm doing his podcast. He challenges me on a podcast to record a true metal album. He said, D, you're one of those voices. We lost Dio. We lost Lemmy. We're losing voices. So that you've got one of those amazing metal voices and it needs to be heard. And I said, I love metal. I love new metal. I just don't know where my place is. He says, I do. He says, let me produce an album for you. So I really did a trust fall with Jamie in that I didn't know, because Jamie, I know Jamie and I love him, but he comes from Hatebreed. They don't even have melodies in their song. So I was like, what's going to happen here? And all of a sudden, like, he's bringing me to, it's like, stuff. Well, and by the way, thank you, Mark Morton, Ollie from All That Remains, rest in peace, Howard Jones, Alyssa White Glues, Joel Grind from Toxic Holocaust. All of these people were contributing to that album. They all came to the party. They were like, wanted to help Dee Snider find his place in today's community. And with the love of metal, they did. So that was where the relationship with Jamie Josta. It should be noted that I've never used a producer on consecutive records in my career. And the minute I decide to record, Jamie, I want to do another record. Same team. It ain't broke. I ain't going to fix it. Let's keep going.
Yeah, I mean, it's proven to be a success, at least with the first record. And this first single has gotten a lot of good reception, everything like that. And, you know, you were talking about kind of your background and your history with music. And I always love hearing you talk about Alice Cooper, because like you, he's my hero. He's always been my number one.
Raised you properly? Somebody raised you properly. You certainly weren't there when the first record came out.
No, I wasn't. But I mean, I grew up listening to the likes, which is really funny, of, you know, Twisted Sister and Motley Crue and Def Leppard and Alice Cooper and all, you know. I listened to the 70s stuff and the 80s stuff, but, you know, Alice has always been my kind of number one. So, you know, always hearing you talk about him, it's always been, you know, so cool to hear your passion for him. And, you know, kind of what has it been like for you? Because you went from being a fan like that in the 70s, you know, listening to him and, you know, kind of finding your place and fitting in with Alice and his music and just that scene, to, you know, doing a song with him. You eventually did, you know, Be Cruel to Your School in the 80s, and Your Friends, and you've interviewed him and hang out. Like, what is that like to just have that kind of experience?
It is completely strange. And when I have relationships with people who were fans of mine, who over the course of time became business associates or band members or just friends, who started as fans, I know exactly how they feel. Robert Plant is another friend of mine. Alice and Robert, I had their posters hanging over my bed. I bowed down each night before I went, Robert Plant, the god of rock, you know. And now to sit and have a dinner with him and talk conversationally and be friendly, it still jumps in my head. But this is wonderful. You know, life is great that way. And but the thing with Alice, and not the same with Robert for that matter, Alice, I always used to listen to his words and read about him. I go, we could be really good friends. We would be really good friends. I know we would really, oh, he thinks we're like the same. And we became really good friends. I mean, if you speak to him about me, he speaks glowingly. It's embarrassing, but we have a lot in common. And so I started as a fan, but we're cut from a similar cloth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know you even got to be featured in his documentary and everything. You know, you did Super Duper Alice Cooper, and you were that must be crazy. I like thinking about it. It must be so insane. But one thing I wanted to really touch on, and you're going to laugh at this probably, because I'm not sure how often you've gotten this, but in my house, when it hits December 1st, I listen to A Twisted Christmas. It is my go-to Christmas record in my entire family. We're like decorating the Christmas tree. It's like, you know, you singing like, "Oh Come All You Faithful." Like, what was the idea to do that record? Because I mean, I know it was a couple years back at this point. And you know, it was all the original guys and everything. I mean, what was this, the idea of doing a Christmas record and kind of doing what you guys did with that?
The idea really goes back to the 80s. And it was, I'm a Christmas junkie. I love Christmas. Halloween and Christmas are the big holidays. But I was feeling one time, it just, you know, I got 85, 80, somewhere around there. I'm like, you know, putting on the Christmas album. And there's every kind of Christmas at that time. There's, you know, there's a traditional, there's jazz, there's, you know, there's Euro disco versions, there's pop. And I said, where's the metal? Other than, and I love Phil Spector's 50s style with the Ronettes and Darlene Love, that 50s record. That, other than that, there was no metal album. So I started thinking about it one Christmas. I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to reach out to all the guys in the community. I said, I can hear AC/DC doing Silver Bells, and I imagine their version. And I can hear Maiden doing White Christmas. White Christmas. And I ran. I could hear Priest. I had Thin Lizzy. I had it all figured out. And I never did it. I never followed through on it.
Yeah.
But to 2000, blah, blah. I don't know. Just don't remember the year. And JJ and I said, I'm not into doing a new Twisted Sister record. I call it going back to the future, trying to write stuff. Because if you try to change, people go, you should stay Twisted Sister. And if you stay the same, it's like, it sounds like the old stuff. You're like, oh, you know, you can't win.
No, there's no winning.
And he said, what about doing a Christmas album, Twisted Christmas? And my brain immediately went back to those thoughts I had and all those arrangements I had. I said, yes. He said, yes? I said, yeah. I said, I'll do that. I always wanted to do that. So I already had all of these, but I didn't reach out. I said, I'm not going to call a priest. Let's do the versions I heard. So there's the one that sounds like it's another thing coming. There's a Maidenish one. There's the AC/DC style one, the Thin Lizzy one. I just did what we planned to do with different bands, but we did them all ourselves.
Yeah, it cracks me up. It's one of those albums that, because, you know, it was my dad at first that played that record. It's just become like a family just staple in my house around Christmas. Like,
yeah, by the way, you gave me the answer. Hashtag good parenting, everybody. This is good parenting. Hashtag good parenting.
But kind of just touching on Twisted Sister again. I mean, I have to say, I think that you guys have done, and I mean, who knows? I know a lot of people ask you about a reunion and stuff like that. And I mean, I think you guys are one of those bands that have said you were going to end, you ended, and you guys have stayed strong in the fact that you guys have ended. I mean, do you feel the same way? Is there anything that, any part of you that might say maybe in the future we do something, or are you kind of standing firm in the fact of we went out on top, that's it?
100% committed to not reuniting. Yeah. Now, let me just be clear. We're friends. I did a show the other a couple weeks ago, and Mendoza showed up, and we did Under the Blade. It was awesome. I talk to the guys all the time. I could show you my text messages. We have a little text group, and we were like, you know, sending messages back and forth. So that was the big, to me, that was the reason for was reunite, was to fix the relationships, and we did fix them, and we're friends. I feel we did what we could do without just doing the same thing over. And I wanted to do some new challenging things that I couldn't do within Twisted. And the solo records I've done, I could not have done with Twisted Sister. I could not have done D Does Broadway with Twisted Sister. Twisted Does Broadway. And I could not have done For the Love of Metal with Twisted Sister. People would never have accepted it.
Yeah.
But as a solo artist, I'm allowed to change and evolve. And some things they've liked, some things they have not liked. But at the same time, I'm allowed. No one's ever questioned. And like, you know, again, if Twisted Sister did it, it would be like, hey, it doesn't sound like Twisted Sister anymore. You know, right. It would have been that kind of thing. So, you know, could I see a situation? I could see us like doing a charity, a couple of songs for charity for the right reasons. We got together originally for charity, which was a good reason to get together. I could see Fallon, who's a big fan. He said, hey, guys, would you come on the show and do White Christmas for us? You know, like, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? But to do a tour, to do 90 minutes, 2 hours on a stage, I don't see that happening. And a credit to everybody in the band. And I know some people, some, you know, without naming names, some guys, they would have kept going. Others did not want to keep going. But I'm sure we get offers. JJ French is the manager of Twisted because it's still an entity. There's right. still royalties and licenses and things like that and merchandise. He's not presented one offer, and I'm sure we've gotten them. Because it's not even, we're not even considering it. It's just not even, it doesn't matter what they're offering, we're not doing it.
Yeah, because I mean, I feel like, you know, you, with those last couple of shows you did, because you did the ones in the East Coast, you know, back where you guys started out, I personally just feel like ended so perfectly. Like, just, you guys really did, you know, go out on top when I feel like you guys should have gone out. And I think that you guys, you know, just ended in the right way.
When we filmed a lot of those shows, and we filmed a lot of behind the scenes on that, on the tour. And when that finally comes out, you will see Twisted Sister moments in front of 90,000, 75,000, 50,000 people. And you know, those are frozen moments for me in time. That's how I remember Twisted Sister. You know, that standing on that stage with an audience, just, People were crying, but, you know, but for the right reasons, you know, and not because we were so bad. They were crying because they loved us and they knew that it was time for us to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And kind of going into your solo stuff again, I mean, I know that obviously, you know, kind of like you just mentioned, I mean, Twisted Sister has a very special place in your heart and of course your career. And, you know, many people know you for those videos and, you know, We're Not Going to Take It, I Want to Rock. I mean, does it ever, sometimes when you're focusing on your solo stuff and a new album like this, or even, you know, sometimes when you're doing press, I mean, does it ever kind of bug you that sometimes people focus too much on those videos or on the PMRC hearing? You know, do you kind of wish sometimes, you know, what you were doing now was what kind of took the main focus?
Never. It's my legacy. It's the pride, is one of the great prides of my life. And I'm so proud of how hard we fought to achieve what we achieved and what we achieved. So no, you know, and matter of fact, when you look at the credits for The Love of Metal and you look at the credits on here, I thank Eddie, Mark, JJ, and AJ for this. I wouldn't have the records I'm doing now wouldn't exist without my Twisted Sister history. Yeah. Without them doing battle with me, I wouldn't have the life I have. Whatever happens for me, anything's happened, it's all been an offshoot of Twisted Sister one way or another. So no, I'm happy to answer questions. And like I said, I'm proud.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, I talk to people all the time, you know, I'm in my age group, there are a lot of people who aren't 100% familiar with all the music that I love very much, but you know, you put on We're Not Going to Take It or I Want to Rock or any of those songs. And they're like, I know exactly who that is. I know that song exactly, which is something that I feel like nobody could ever take away from you, you know?
You know, 100%. And, you know, and I always say to young people, I say, I could connect with anybody within, you know, within like two or three tries. Yeah. So, you know, and when I get the young people go, you like SpongeBob? And go, yeah. Did you like the SpongeBob movie? Yeah. Remember Goofy Goober Rock at the end, the big finale? Yeah. I wrote that song. It's I Want to Rock. That's my song. That's your song. Yeah. And I was Angry Larry the Used Shell Salesman. in the episode where Fun Bob broke Gary's shell. Angry Jack, the used shell salesman. Yeah. And they go, oh, wow. You know, and now with Cobra Kai, that's added a whole nother recognition thing. I'm telling you, you know, did you see the Cobra Kai episode that I was on?
Yeah. Actually, I'd seen because that show has got all the music and it had you. And it's just like, it's been kind of a big like 80s kind of like almost like revival a little bit with that show.
It's introduced so many younger people to me. And Johnny Lawrence, the Billy Zabka character, says, that's Dee Snider, the most badass rocker ever. That'll be on my gravestone. That's what it's going to say. Here lies Dee Snider, the most badass rocker ever. Thank you. Thank you, Johnny Lawrence. So, but I mean, now I, you know, the day I spoke to 70 seventh graders about censorship. And the reason why, besides the fact that I have my history, they had me because I was the kids knew me from Cobra Kai. So I had their attention now, you know? So yeah, it's amazing to have these things that connect with people, even younger people, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dee, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I'm so excited for the record. And before I let you go, do you have any tour dates that are kind of in the works for this record? Is it something that you're going to wait? Because I know some shows are kind of coming back in the fall. Are you just going to wait for 2022 to go on tour?
Well, you answer the question, which is exactly right. It's so it's really sort of inconsistent now, you know, and unpredictable. And people are still, you know, hemming and hawing. I did a show a couple weeks ago that I filmed, which will be streamed in the near this month. I don't have the details on that. And I played a lot of new music and some twisted stuff or whatever. And that show was bizarre because when it was booked, it was 200 people. Social distance, masked, vaccinated. And then as we got closer, it went to 300, 400. By the night of the show, they just opened the doors and there was lines around the block and it was just, you wouldn't even know COVID existed. But then 2 days later, I went and did a Kings of Chaos show, which is a Matt Sorum all-star project, and it was a limited audience. And so it's still, very, like I said, I'm going to wait till 2022 when things are just under control, figured out, sorted out. And I want to be a part of the return to the festival scene. And I want to sing You Can't Stop Rock and Roll with a whole new meaning that I never even thought of when I wrote it in the 70s. You know, it's a statement for the times. You can't stop rock and roll.
Nope, you can't. And we'll be back or getting stronger than ever after this whole year. And it's going to be great to, you know, see you out on the road and see the songs from this new record. So Dee, thank you so much for coming on. It is so appreciated. And we're all looking forward to hearing the new record.
Thank you. Thank you. Great talking to you. Talk to you again sometime.
You guys just finished listening to my interview with legendary hard rock vocalist, Mr. Dee Snider. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this conversation as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. Dee is such a fun guy, and I can definitely agree with the fact that I had hashtag good parenting. So I'm glad that Dee approves. Without my parents, I would maybe not have been listening to Twisted Sister. So definitely good parenting. And he's just such a funny guy. I'm so excited for you all to hear the record Leave a Scar once again out via Napalm Records on July 30th. Go ahead and be sure to pre-order your copy now and let me know what you think of the first single I Gotta Rock Again, as well as the full-length record once it is released. And also let me know what your standout part of the interview with Dee is. What was your favorite tidbit, your favorite story that Dee told, your favorite topic, etc. I'd love to hear your favorite part of the interview. Once again, Dee is so funny, such a great dude, one of the greatest, most iconic vocalists out there in metal, and I can't wait until the next time we have him back on the podcast, maybe his next record, whenever that's released. I know we talk about it in the interview, you know, the fact that he was possibly stopping, but I don't think that there's any stopping in Dee's future, so I'm sure that we'll have him back on the podcast to talk about new music sometime in the future. If you are interested in donating to the Metal from the Inside podcast, the best place to do so is on our Anchor page. You can go to www.anchor.fm/metalfromtheinside. Here you can click on the support button and donate either $1, $5, or $10 a month directly to the podcast. And once again, every single dollar I receive goes directly back into creating for you guys, producing more content, and all of that fun stuff. No donation is required to listen to the podcast. We are available for 100% free on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Anchor, anywhere that you get your podcasts. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch all of the interviews that we have here on the podcast. You can watch Dee and I's conversation. Just go to YouTube's homepage, type Metal from the Inside into the search bar, and we will be the very first search result. And we're almost at 1,500 subscribers on the YouTube channel, which is absolutely insane. So be sure to go ahead and add yourself to that list, be a part of the Metal from the Inside community, and go ahead and hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel so you don't miss another interview just like this one. If you would like to stay up to date with the Metal from the Inside podcast and make sure you aren't missing anything, be sure to stay up to date with our website, www.metalfromtheinside.com. We're also on Instagram at Metal from the Inside, on Twitter at MFTI Official, and you can also like our official Facebook page. If you would like to keep up with me, Sydney Taylor, in real time, the best place to do so is again on Instagram and Twitter. I'm on Instagram at Sydney Anna Taylor and on Twitter at STaylorOfficial. If you have any questions or comments, be sure to let me know and I will get back to you guys as soon as possible. Thank you guys again for all of your support. I really hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of the podcast, episode 42, my interview with the one and only Dee Snider. If you have any Dee fans or Twisted Sister fans in your life, be sure to go ahead and send them the link to this interview so they can go ahead and listen to it. Like I mentioned in the beginning of this week's episode, next week we have a conversation with Don Jameson all about some of our very favorite underrated bands. I also did a little bit of a Twitter poll the other day, ironically after we've recorded that episode, so it's kind of useless now, but I'll talk about it a little bit in the introduction of next week's episode. But I did a Twitter poll and I got over 600 responses of some of your favorite underrated artists as well, so I'll be reading some of those off and talking about a few in next week's episode, and you will get to hear Don and I's top 5 underrated bands that we think people should know more about, that we love and deserved so much more credit than they ever got. So that's going to be a really fun episode. There are some great interviews that I have scheduled for this week that I will be announcing very shortly as the podcast rolls on. But once again, thank you guys so much for all of your support. Be sure to leave a review on our Apple Podcasts page, our Facebook page, or our Podchaser page. We will be right back here next Friday for a brand new episode 43 of the Metal from the Inside podcast. Have a great week, and we will see you next time. Rock on.